I think you do this from your garage now, is that right?
I've progressed a little bit from the garage into one of our bedrooms.
You moved in the garage. In the house. Does that mean it's profitable now? That's usually the sign.
This is Superfast Business with James Schramko. James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Today's guest is a video expert, and in particular, video traffic, and that's a very exciting thing. Welcome, Gideon Shelwick.
Hey, James. Good to be on the call.
Now, you are now, you're world-renowned for blogging and for video. Which one's your passion?
Video, by far. But really both, actually. It's video blogging. So it's a combination of the two.
Right. So you're a video blogger. Is that a vlogger?
I guess you could call it that. The term vlogger didn't really seem to stick in the blogosphere or in the world. The video blogging seems to be the one that people use more often now. But yeah, you could call me a vlogger if you want to.
Now, I've seen you in iTunes. You actually have video iTunes podcasts. Tell me how that works.
That works really well, James. It's one of the strategies that I use for getting more traffic. One of the complementary and automated strategies that I use. You know, my main method is to use YouTube for getting traffic as the main traffic source. Well, for the main traffic source using video, at least. And then iTunes, getting a podcast through iTunes is a nice complementary thing that happens for me automatically. So basically the way it works is that I create my value-added little videos, throw them onto YouTube. At the same time, I upload those same videos or an MP4 version of that to my Amazon account. I link that to my blog, which is also the RSS feed has been submitted to FeedBurner into iTunes. And so what that means is that every time I have a new video or a video blog post, the same video goes into my iTunes feed, so that my followers there can watch those videos there as well. So it's pretty cool. And so that opens it up to sort of the Apple kind of audience. Anybody who's on iTunes can then watch that video there and check out my stuff.
Now, do you get stats in your FeedBurner account as to how many people view those videos?
Probably do, but it's not something that I keep an eye on. Last time I looked at it, it was around about a quarter of my audience in terms of subscribers were from iTunes. So it was a significant following that I was able to gain through there. And I guess what was really cool about that was that it was something that happened automatically. It's not something that I had to do much for extra. It was literally just adding that link in there. And setting up the RSS feed through FeedBurner at the beginning to have it all set up and running. But now every time there's a new video, it just goes in there and it attracts more of an audience with every single time that I do it.
Right. So this is one of the things that I like about blogging and having iTunes podcasts is that you can set these things up once, and then once you've got the system, you can use them over and over again. I'd love to talk about your process. So you know, Gideon's sitting there with a camera and some lights, and I think you do this from your garage now, is that right?
I've progressed a little bit from the garage into one of our bedrooms.
You moved in the garage. In the house. Does that mean it's profitable now? That's usually the sign. Well, yeah, I was allowed to graduate from the bedroom to have a whole room in the house when we started making enough money to pay for a much bigger house.
Sounds like you also have a fair amount of convincing to do there for some things. Yeah. Now, I was able to use one of our guest rooms that we have in the house. It's big enough, but I just found the sound is a lot better in the room than it is in the garage. The garage, you've got all sorts of issues with, you know, sound, you know, the sound reflecting off walls. So it sounds like you're in a hall a little bit, or even worse, you hearing the crickets outside through the garage door. And of course, it's very difficult to isolate or insulate the garage door. So I decided, stuff that. I'll just move it all to the bedroom where I can close the door, and it's pretty insulated, and the sound is just superb. So that works really well now. But yeah, I do have a process, and I guess this is something that I really try and focus on what I teach, and I've been able to really get a ton of a following just through using this process and being able to automate it to a certain degree. I'm a big fan of automation, and this is why I developed the system. So basically, the way that I have it is, if you could imagine swimming lanes or three swimming lanes, and well, you could have more swimming lanes too, but I've got three for myself, and each swimming lane represents an area of work for one person. So in this, in my system, I have three people. I have me, I have a virtual assistant, and I have a CEO person as well in my system. As I said, you can make it more complicated as you want to, but that's the nutshell of what I have. So what I've done is I've created this little flow chart of all the different tasks that need to happen to be able to get the video out there, get it on my blog, get it into iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. It's pretty, I'll give you the simple one, and perhaps you can make sense of it. It's sometimes nicer to see the picture in front of you. Maybe I can send you the picture, James, and you can list it on the page.
Yeah, we can post it on the Internet Marketing Speed blog.
Okay, cool. So that's, you know, what we're talking about here. So the first stage really for me is to come up with the idea and the idea for the video. That normally doesn't take too long. Depends on the topic, but you know, I might just have a mind map or a brainstorm to try and figure out a good, catchy, value-adding idea that I want to create for my audience. The next thing is to go to my studio because it's all set up. I just turn the camera on, turn the lights on, essentially hit record and start speaking. Once I'm done, I hit stop, turn the lights off, grab the little SD card from my camera. The next stage is I walk up to my computer, upload the video file to my computer and convert it into the right format. That automatically gets uploaded to through my Dropbox, through my video editor in the Philippines. He goes ahead, does the editing for me and sends me a draft. Maybe there's one or two fixes and he'll send me a final. I'll take that final, upload it to YouTube, add some copy to my YouTube video. Then my job's done. You know, so far in this process, I've just come up with the idea, recording and uploaded to my computer. So the editing, that all got done for me. What then happens next through my virtual assistant is very powerful. This is sort of where the magic happens. My video then automatically gets transcribed. Sometimes it gets transcribed before I upload it to YouTube. Sometimes my virtual assistant can get access to the video file or the audio version of that file so they can transcribe it. That all gets turned into a blog post. So I don't even create my own blog posts anymore. The video gets taken from YouTube, gets embedded into my blog post with the transcript. And also the link to the video on Amazon, that also gets done by the virtual assistant. And the next stage in the process is to basically do some search engine optimization on that. And what I mean by that is essentially start creating some backlinks to that video on both YouTube and my video blog. So with that process, I've got it all sussed, you know, and I'm only really there for standing in front of the camera and doing a little bit of copywriting on YouTube. The rest all gets taken care of automatically for me.
Nice. It's a good process there, Gideon. When you say copy for the video, let's just dig into that a bit. On YouTube, you're talking about the words that go in the video description and the title. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So that's you know, very important to get that right. I'm not sure what our audience the level of education is for this sort of topic. Maybe you can help there, James.
Well, I think we have a pretty intermediate to advanced listener base for Internet Marketing Speed. They'd be well familiar with tags and keywords.
Okay, great. So if you're familiar with that sort of thing and the blogging world, it's not too much different in YouTube. You know, your title, your description area and your tags are sort of very similar to what you'd have with just normal blog posts. What's critical, though, is that you get these things right. You know, when people search for your videos on YouTube, they're not going to find it unless you're targeting the right sort of keywords. That's the number one thing you got to get right. So, you know, do your keyword research. Make sure you pick the right kind of keywords that they're actually getting some traffic and that you can rank for. And then use those cleverly inside your title, your description, and your tags. And, you know, this is just basic stuff, but the guideline is that you try and use your keyword that you try and rank for, or your keyword phrase, right at the beginning of your title. That's very, very important. YouTube even says that themselves. You know, we've tested this ourselves, but YouTube's also come out recently with that. Just add it right at the beginning. Same thing in the description area. You can add your keyword phrase there. But, you know, I think the important with your description area is to make sure you treat that like a blog post, pretty much. You know, don't just add a bunch of keyword phrases in there and keyword stuff. That's not really going to help you. But throw your main keyword phrase in there, you know, just like you do with a normal blog post, that maybe at the beginning, somewhere in the middle, and somewhere towards the end, something like that. Naturally, what you'll also do by writing a normal blog post type of description is that you'll have other keyword phrases in there naturally as well, which is, you know, YouTube and Google loves that. And then, of course, for your tags, the same thing. YouTube says this as well. Repeat that same keyword phrase that you want to rank for right at the beginning. Inside the tags area, and then add. Basically, what they're recommending is adding as many keywords as you can. I think you've got 120 character limit in the tags area, so you might as well fill it up. But fill it up with your most prominent or most important keywords first. They do get extra preference, and. But then, you know, think about more related keyword phrases that you can use as well. So that's what I mean by copywriting, you know, for the YouTube video, just getting the title right, the description, and also the tags. That's kind of like your on-page SEO optimization that you need to do for each and every video that you upload to YouTube.
Right. Now, Gideon, you use the YouTube embed on your own blog as the player. Is that right?
That's correct.
And what determines that choice? I know that some people like to load their own videos up. I do sometimes. I've used YouTube videos and I've used Vidler videos and I've used my own Easy S3 players. What caused that choice?
There's a number of benefits of doing that with a system that I teach. It all works together nicely. If you do a search for some of my keyword phrases that I try and rank for, because of the way that I've got it set up, not only do I rank for my YouTube videos from YouTube in Google, but also rank for my blog posts on my blog. And what's interesting is for some of my videos on my blog, in the same way that you often see these YouTube thumbnails in a Google search, what started happening is that my normal blog posts started having, instead of just a text entry in the search engines, it would have a thumbnail entry. Now, I didn't even have a video, a video sitemap for my blog. It just YouTube and Google must have figured out that this is an authority blog with videos on it and just went and grabbed some thumbnails from those videos, which is very encouraging. So what it means, often I can get two thumbnail results for the same content on the first page of Google, which is very powerful. And I believe it's because of the way that I've got it set up. So I do have I embed the videos on my blog. So the SEO stuff is one benefit. Another benefit that I've found is that if you're building both your YouTube channel and your video blog in parallel, eventually your video blog, which is just a WordPress blog with videos on it, by the way, but that starts gaining in PageRank and becomes an authority blog in and of itself. Now, getting our high PageRank links back to your videos is very important for getting more traffic and ranking in the search engine. So if you've got a pretty nice blog, I think mine is sitting at 4, it was sitting on 5 for a while. You know, if I embed a YouTube video on that blog, that immediately gives me a PR 4 or 5 link back to my video automatically. You know, well, not automatically, I've got to do it, but I mean, I don't have to go and search for other blogs to add that embed code to. So it gives me that immediate benefit, which then in return helps my video rank better in YouTube and Google as a result. Now, I know what you're trying to get at here because, you know, a big question that I get from people is what if something goes wrong with your YouTube account or you get terminated or whatever? Does it mean you basically lose all your videos and you have your whole blog with some pretty funny messages from YouTube? And that's a valid concern, especially if you're in the internet marketing niche and you have, you know, you try and rank for phrases like how to make more money online. I really recommend you do not try and rank for those. You'll get terminated. But what am I trying to say here? I think you can cover yourself in many ways. One way that I do it is just to have all my videos on Amazon S3 as well, or another video sharing site. So if something does go wrong, it's not too much trouble for me or a virtual assistant to just quickly go through and add new embed code to the blog. But you know, for me at this stage, the benefits of having the YouTube video on the blog outweighs the drawbacks of not having it on there.
Nice. You make interviewing very easy, Gideon, because you ask and answer my questions. Okay, a couple of other questions that I'm sure would be of interest. With your videos, how do you actually decide what you're going to talk about? Have you found some that get watched a lot more than others, a recipe or a formula that you have?
Yeah, it's actually quite a complicated recipe, James. It goes something like this. Basically, create content that your audience wants. That's really what it comes down to. I catch myself out time and time again, and you'd think I'd learn the lesson, but I don't seem to very well. But just recently, I introduced a new video series that I thought would be pretty cool, you know, that I thought would be valuable to my audience, that I thought that, you know, I've got this cool experience that I want to share with my audience. In some cases, that can work well. But what I forgot to do was to think about my audience and think about what it is that they really want. You know, what is the content that they subscribe for originally and that they want to learn from me. And so I got a few interesting responses from people and, you know, along the lines of, you know, Gideon, pretty much just stick with what you were doing before. We were loving that and keep on providing us the information that we're really here for. So I think, you know, what you got to do is find out from your audience what it is that they want. I lied before, it's actually quite simple, but it's not necessarily easy to figure that out.
It's always obvious, isn't it, in hindsight?
It is in hindsight, and it's simple too, but not easy. And the reason why it's not easy is because if you're starting a YouTube channel at the beginning, you're not going to have a following. So how do you know what people want? You know, and so you've got to look at other ways of trying to figure out what people want. And one way to do that is to do a bit of search on and research on YouTube, you know, within your area of interest or within your niche, look at what other videos are performing well. Look at the kind of videos, the kind of content, the kind of topics that are doing well, and start off with those. And start building your own audience. And once you have your own following, then it becomes a lot easier. Then you can actually survey people, or you can just have a video where you ask them, what the heck do you want? You know, what do you want me to create content on?
Well, we did something pretty cool with our traffic grab videos. We put trackable links with an analytics tracking link, and we could actually find out which videos converted into sales. And we started making more of those particular videos. So sometimes the ones that convert sales aren't necessarily the most viewed, but they're the most converting videos. So it helped us figure out what people actually were most interested in.
That's an excellent point, James. The, you know, a lot of people, they go to YouTube and they might start a channel and they only get like a few thousand views, maybe even a few hundred views on their videos. And they get all discouraged and stuff. And they go, well, you know, I'm not successful, or my videos, my channel is not doing well, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, why am I not getting a million views like all these other videos? The reality is that if you're getting... you may have to double check the stat, but it's something along these lines. If you're getting more than 1,500 views on your videos, you know, per video, you're getting more views than something like 80% of videos on YouTube. You know, that's a very eye-opening statistic to me, even though I may not be able to quote it exactly right, but it's along those lines.
It does make sense. I got invited to be a partner last week for my internet marketing speed channel, and it was surprising to me because I don't have that many views on that particular channel, just on my own name, I think it is. Some of them have 600 or 700 videos. Can you tell us about this whole partnership thing. It's sort of new. I figured I'd either get a slap or an invitation, but it'd either go one of two ways.
I was going to say you did well being invited to become a partner. You know, especially with that sort of topic, the internet marketing type of topic. There's been a bit of a slapping frenzy going on YouTube with you know, seem to be targeting internet marketers and getting rid of their channels.
I've heard a lot about it, and I've heard you interview one of our other friends, Dave, about his situation, and I know a few big internet marketers have had their channel slapped.
That's right. I'm not 100% sure what exactly is happening there, whether YouTube or someone in YouTube's had a, you know, has it in for the internet marketers, or whether it's just been some sort of bit of code sitting somewhere, you know, automatically deleting or terminating these accounts. And, you know, I haven't been able to get to the bottom of that myself yet. Maybe someone else has. But if we get back to the partner question, you know, the partner program has been around for a while now. Basically, with, you know, YouTube started seeing that you know, the videos were getting, that some of their channels were performing pretty well, and so they decided to introduce the partner program, where you can essentially partner up with YouTube and the AdSense program that they're running. So basically, when people watch your videos and ads get served on your video, you can get a share of that that money that gets paid. You know, when people click on the link, or even just when the link or the advertisement get displayed. So that was very exciting for partners at the beginning. You know, there are a bunch of people making six-figure incomes just from a partner program on YouTube. It's a lot of people that are making good money on that. What I want to say in that vein, though, is that from my experience and from the successful channels that I've been able to run, the income from the partner program is actually really minuscule compared to what you can make if you know what you're doing on YouTube. The partner program is I guess comparable to having like an AdSense ad on your website, and you know you get paid cents per click or something like that, and you compare that to, say, a very focused affiliate promotion, where you can make a lot more money. It's similar on YouTube. I think, you know, if you're able to use YouTube for traffic and for building your list, you can build a very powerful following who are very keen to see your offers, and that respond, very responsive audience. And so the money you can make from selling your own products, for example, or selling affiliate products through your email list, can be a lot more than the money you can make through the partner program. In saying that, though, I mean, the partner program is awesome. If you can become a partner, it is fantastic. You become a little bit untouchable. For example, a wee while ago, Darren Rouse, a very famous pro blogger. In fact, his blog is called problogger.net. He got his account terminated as well. And when I saw that first, I was going, wow, what's going on here? Surely he's a partner. You know, what's just happened? And I was a bit shocked. And then I looked into it further, and he wasn't actually a partner. But one of his videos had the key phrase, make money online, or something like that, in the title. And that's why I was saying before, it must be some sort of algorithm thing. And just about a month before that, I also had a video in my channel that got suspended. But the difference was that I was a partner and Darren wasn't. Only my one video got suspended, whereas Darren's whole channel got suspended or terminated. So being a partner, I think, definitely has some benefits. You know, for example, in that case, I was protected. You know, I was treated in a better way. There are other benefits, branding benefits. For example, when you become a partner, you can put some, you know, your own banner on your channel page, and you can have some pretty cool links. Can I share a ninja strategy? You like ninja strategies, right?
I like ninja strategies.
Okay. Now, what's cool about YouTube is that it's relatively easy to build a pretty high-ranking page, high page rank type of channel. My own channel hasn't been around for long. It's sitting at page rank 6. The magic channel that we had, I think that's also sitting at page rank 6. It took us about 6 months to get it to page rank 6. Now, when you're a partner, you get some extra privileges. One of them is being able to add some of your own links on your channel page. And these links are do follow links, only for partners. And what's more is that you can add your own anchor text as well. So you can have an anchor text do follow link on your high ranking, high PR YouTube channel, linking back to your own site. So say you've got a PageRank 6 channel for internet marketing, say, you can have a link on there on your channel page for a PageRank 6 link with the keyword phrase internet marketing or whatever you choose, which is pretty cool. Pretty powerful.
That is cool. That's a good tip.
Yeah. And you can, so, I mean, if you know what you're doing, you know, you could create a bunch of different YouTube channels and have a bunch of high PageRank YouTube channels, get them to partner status and be able to have these nice high PageRank links with anchor text linking back to your sites, which is very powerful.
Had no idea about that. I just checked my Freedom Ocean podcast YouTube channel and it's a PR3 and it's only brand new.
Well, there you go. So it's PR3. How long did that take you?
A few months. So we've only got 23 episodes, but we have the same sort of system that you have. Every time we do a podcast, my ninjas come along and they take the MP3 and they stick pictures to it, create a video for it and upload it to that channel, and then they backlink it. I think it's the backlinks doing that because they have a bit of a traffic grab process on it.
Yes, the backlinks will certainly help. There's a bunch of other things you can do too. The other thing that I've noticed on YouTube channels in particular is, well, there's two things that you can do that can give you, I guess, some link juice. If you look at YouTube channels, when people leave a comment on a channel, it has your channel name on there as part of the comment. And if you have your little ninja tools out, you can see that those links are do follow links. Now, they're do follow links to another page within YouTube. But this is a good thing just within YouTube. So, I mean, you can't link to outside of YouTube, unfortunately. Well, fortunate for YouTube, unfortunate for us keen internet marketers. But at least what you can do is have a strategy where you leave comments on people's videos and you leave comments on people's channels, and that creates a do follow link back to your own page or back to your own channel.
Which may have your keyword in your channel name.
Which may have your keyword in your channel name, and which, you know, there's a bunch of benefits from this. Obviously, there's an SEO benefit or, you know, a potential SEO benefit. I would... you know, it's difficult to test these things. I'm not a big testing person, so I can't give you exact numbers
on that. I think the fact that YouTube is so closely related to Google, it can't be a bad thing if they think your content's good.
There's something that is spectacular about it, James, you know, because with our Free Magic Live channel, all we did at the beginning was create videos, left comments on people's channels, left comments on people's videos. We didn't have any kind of outside backlinking strategy. And we whipped it up to a PageRank 6 within about 6 months. And the only thing that I could attribute to that was, you know, obviously great content, but having those internal backlinks back to our channel as well as a result of those channel comments and video comments that we just kept on leaving religiously. And over time, I just kept on building up.
That is hot tip. So you've internal YouTube linking strategy, and do you leave comments on other people's blogs, like video comments or video replies?
Video replies. That's not something I've done much. I know that it's a strategy that works well, but I'm kind of lazy. You know, I just try and do the 80-20 type of thing. I've seen people use it very effectively. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you've got the time and then the energy to do that, go for it. What I would recommend you do there is instead of just looking at really popular videos and just having a random video response there that doesn't even relate to the topic of that original video.
Oh, you mean just like spam videos?
Yeah, it's just like spam. So I think if that's probably a strategy that you could follow where you go and watch videos within your niche, you think about a clever response that relates to the content, and you have that as a specific video response to that specific content in that video, I think you're just going to get so much, the results is going to be so much better, because obviously you're going to get that internal backlink back to your channel. But also, you know, other people watching the original video will click on your video, they'll watch it. If they like it, they're going to subscribe and they're going to keep on wanting to follow what you're doing. So if it's a video that's totally unrelated, you know, you're not going to get that positive effect.
This is nice. Okay, so just a quick recap. We've talked about having a system. We've talked about the way you've structured it, your video, your podcast video, your team, your WordPress blog, how to get PageRank, how to find out what videos to make. The two things we haven't really talked about, one is equipment. It'd be good to get it. I mean, obviously we can do this from our own home now. That's very encouraging, because just about anybody with access to a basic camera can make videos. Can you just give us the quick equipment synopsis? Do you need a lot of equipment? You know, what's Gideon running?
Okay, I'll give you two options. One that's super affordable, and one that's, if you've got a little bit more money, you can do it, but it's still extremely affordable compared to what the professionals use, and you can get you can get some really stunning results. If you just want to get started, basically, just before I tell you the equipment is, you know, my recommendation is just to use whatever you've got when you're getting started with this. If you're getting started with this, just use whatever you've got.
Don't use equipment as an excuse not to get started or to obsess about, right?
Exactly. I mean, you can use your webcam. You can use a site like, just slipped my mind. Jing is one, but what's the other one? It's a really cool one, but I haven't used it for a while. I used it at the beginning of my blog, where you basically record this, your screen, through a web interface. You don't even need any software. So there's no excuse. You know, it's really easy. The name will come to me, I'm sure. If it comes to me, I'll let you know.
Like Camtasia?
No, not Camtasia. It's a website.
Just
slipped my mind. But it's a really cool one. You'll love it. Just the equipment that if you want to take it to the next level, a Kodak ZI-8 camera, that's really cool, because you can plug an external microphone into it, records in HD, records on an MOV file format, which is really nice for both PC and Mac, and the file's nice
that's
and small.
That's what I use in my lab.
Beautiful. That's a fantastic little camera. I really, really, really hope they don't go out of production. I noticed Flip has totally gone out of production now, which is really sad.
Yeah, Cisco just killed it. They just killed it off. And I was making my videos on a Flip before, and I went to the Kodak for the massive memory card and the external mic.
Yeah, it is. It's a great camera. So I think for web videos, I haven't seen anything that really beats that camera, the Kodak ZI-8, because you know, for getting videos done fast, and it still looks great. If you want to increase your quality of your videos a bit, make sure you've got good lighting. I use some professional lights. In Australia, there's a bit of an issue with if you're using fluorescent professional lights with the Kodak camera and even the Flips, you might get a bit of a flicker, because this, those sort of handy cams or party cams are designed for America, you know, and they've got a different power source, a power frequency over there. I think they're 60 hertz and we're 50 hertz. And so when you use fluorescent lights over here, it could be a little bit of an issue there with flickering. So you might have to stick with halogen lights, which don't flicker. But if you can get some good lighting, either fluorescent lights or some halogen lights, that can, if you're recording inside, that can definitely make a big difference. If you're recording outside, nice, bright, sunny days are obviously really good. The better your lighting, the better your video quality is going to be. Make sure you've got a good microphone for your sound. There's nothing more annoying than watching a video and the sound quality is bad. You know, you can have the best picture quality, but if the sound's bad, you know, people are going to stop watching the video. What else is there? There's a tripod. If you can get a tripod, if you're doing, recording yourself, that's pretty handy. What else do I have?
You've got a white backdrop. I saw you had a really good video about making that Apple effect, the white background and nice lights. That was a good
one. Yeah, that's right. And you can implement
that. Cost me about $1,300, that video.
Oh, really? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's great. I went and got some amazing lights. I've got five lights here in the studio. I've got green screen, white screen, and black screen. I've got a handful of cameras. I've got wireless microphones and wired microphones.
Excellent. That's pretty much what I've got as well. I've got a different camera. I'll get to that in a second. But with a white background, you know, there's to get that effect, you can, you know, spend the sort of money me and James have been spending on it. But there's also a cheaper option. You can, you know, if you've got a white wall, you can do that as well. And you can use other much more affordable lights too to get a similar effect if you really are on a budget. And I think there's a video on my video, a video response on my video on that video where it talks about how to get it done much cheaper. I think the result is not as good as what we can get with the better lights and the better background. But, you know, if you are on a budget, there's an option there. If you want to take things to the next level, and it's not going to cost you all that much more, and that's to get a better camera. The camera that I now use mainly is a Canon 60D DSLR camera. Now, if you're not familiar with this, you're probably thinking, what is he talking about? A DSLR camera? How can that be a video camera? Well, these cameras are a relatively new thing on the video market. The YouTubers caught onto this, I guess, kind of first, and the filmmakers, the small filmmakers, they found these DSLR cameras that can record exquisite, just really, really amazing videos. Because on a DSLR camera, you know, you can put on, you know, any lens you want and get an amazing effect. You can get that depth of field kind of effect where you have a blurry background and the object in focus. But the quality of video that you can get from some of these cameras are equivalent to what you can see in, television series programs. I mean, the famous one that they always quote is the one from House. You know, they use the Canon 7D for recording that whole, one whole episode of House. And they are just amazing cameras for that. Now, it comes with a slight drawback. Obviously, there's a learning curve to be able to use them properly. But that can be overcome. And the second thing that's a bit of a hassle is these cameras at the moment can only record for 12 minutes in 12-minute slots. So, and that's got something to do with the file format that it uses. So that's a bit of a worry. But, I mean, for YouTube, it's really not an issue. Most of your videos are going to be less than 10 minutes in any case. And even if you do want to have a longer video, you just have, you know, if you want to have a 30-minute video, you just have 3 10-minute recordings, you know, whoop-de-doo.
They
no
seem
problem.
To give you longer. I've put some FastWeb Formula ones up that are an hour long. So they, at some point, they give you a longer period.
You mean on YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Once you're a partner, you definitely get that. And also, if you've had your channel for quite some time, not everybody gets it. So new channels, I think the limit is set on 15 minutes.
Right.
So once they see that you've been around a bit, you're updating regularly, et cetera, they expand it to, well, much longer videos.
I've got an hour and 6 minute one there with Ed Dale. So we were pretty surprised when it let us load it.
Yep. That's pretty cool.
Okay. So that's good. We've covered just about everything. There was just one thing you teased me with, and I really have to ask, and that is, you said if you know what you're doing, you can make a lot more than with the partner program. I'm just curious, Gideon, how do you make money with videos?
Okay, well, the way that I do it is, I look at YouTube as a traffic generation strategy. So I don't necessarily make my money off YouTube itself. Sure, there is partner income, and sure, maybe sometimes I might do a video to an affiliate product or things like that. But really where the value lies for me is being able to use YouTube to get traffic to my site and then to turn that traffic into my own following, my own database. And that database is where I make the money, you know, because I build a really responsive audience. So from that, I have my own products that I promote to this audience. From that, I can promote also affiliate products. My best one yet is where I had 4 emails and 1 video, and I sold about $100,000 worth of product with over a 2-week period. Obviously, I was an affiliate, so I only got a portion of that, and there were refunds. But I mean, in terms of the sales value, the amount of product that I sold was, you know, close to $100,000, which was I was really pleased with. That I couldn't have done without the list. The other real way that you can make money with this that I found really useful is through collaborations and joint ventures. Once again, it's a sort of a delayed gratification strategy where you find other people on YouTube who already have a big following. And then you team up with them. You do interviews with them or whatever to build a relationship. You leave comments on their channels to get their attention. And then eventually you do a collaboration or some sort of a JV together with them. We did this in the magic niche. And I remember the way we did it was we'd type in the word magic into the search box on YouTube. And would come up with a bunch of other videos and channels who were in the video and in the magic scene. We click on these channels, and some of them would have like 20, 30, 50, 100,000 YouTube subscribers. The first guy we called, I think he had over 20,000 YouTube subscribers. He also happened to have a website where he was building his list, so he knew something about internet marketing. This guy had over 20,000 people on his email list.
Wow.
We called him up. We sent him a message through YouTube. We said, hey, dude, do you want to do an interview? And we're thinking he won't reply and he'll be like a drama queen or whatever with his big following. Within 24 hours, he said, wow, you're the first guys to ever ask me for an interview. I'd be more than happy to do it. That guy became one of our top promoters later on when we launched the product. There's another one that we found. He hadn't so much of a YouTube presence, but he had an email list of over 100,000 people. He also became one of our main promotion partners. A couple of others that we found through a similar method, you know, just through YouTube and going, okay, these guys are...
So it's really like a super business card, this video thing. If you're prepared to put yourself on camera, you're going to build a much tighter bond and connection with people.
Oh, absolutely, James. I mean, I'm a bit like you in that sense where, you know, it's not so much about the list size that matters. Obviously, if you've got a big list, it's good. But, you know, what's extremely important is how you treat those people and the relationship that you have with them. And, you know, the stronger that bond is that you have with people and the more trust there is, you know, the better they're going to react or respond when you ask them to respond. And, you know, that comes with time and it comes with building those relationships. But, you know, using the medium of video happens automatically. You know, just the other day I got invited to speak in front of a group of people, and the organizer, he's been watching my videos for the last 2 years. And he said, Gideon, you know, it feels like I've known you for 2 years. It feels like I know you, like you're my buddy. And I've never met this guy.
That's like a Hollywood star.
A bit like that. But I think
it's like we probably feel like we know Harrison Ford or.
Well, I don't know. I mean, when I look at movie stars, I see them as on a pedestal. You know, I don't see them as my buddy. I see them as a celebrity. Whereas with something like YouTube, because it's so much more personal. People can watch it from the comfort of their own home and they can watch it on their iPhone.
Well, now with Apple TV, you can literally watch it in the family TV room, which is how we're consuming media now. We don't go to the video shop anymore.
No.
And YouTube looks like commercial TV.
It's getting that way. You know, but you know, for most people, it's just a face on a camera. It's just a talking head. And often that's what people just want, just those simple videos where there's a real person behind the camera. And when people realize that it's that, you know, you're just a real normal human being, that bond is just so much stronger. So by the time they get on your list, they already love you. So they already feel like they know you, you know.
Give me an impressive stat from your magic channel or something that is sort of mind blowing when you think about it.
I just looked at this recently, James, and probably the coolest one I can give you is the total number of views. That's now sitting close to 12 million views.
12 million views.
Yes. And,
nice.
This was the other thing that channel subscribed. There's 22,000 people in YouTube who subscribe to our channel. So when there's a new video uploaded, they get it in their feed, in their YouTube feed. So they're very likely to go and click
on
it.
What's this channel called so that people can go and look it up?
Free Magic Live.
Free Magic Live. There you go.
So what's beautiful about that business, just to bring it back to how this is valuable for you as a business owner or a marketer, that business there is getting somewhere between 100 and 150 opt-ins to the email list a day. The email list size is probably over 46,000 now. Most of the traffic there has been through YouTube for that particular business. So it's very powerful. If you're wondering about Free Magic Live, me and JJ did that together as a partnership. About 6 months ago or so, I told JJ, look, I think you're ready to run this business yourself now. So for the latest stuff you see on there now, that's JJ's work. He's done really well to take it to the next level. So, but it's going really well, obviously.
Well, people have done well, I imagine, partnering with Gideon. Now, speaking of sharing some more tips, are you going to give us some ninja magic at FastWeb Formula 3?
Oh, absolutely. There's a ton of this stuff. You know, just I created a course on this a while ago, and I was a little bit blown away on two levels. One was the number of videos that it took me to create the content, and also how long it took me to create these videos. But you know, there's basically a ton of information that I want to share with people coming to the event. As you can tell from this interview, I don't mind sharing this information because it's so powerful. And I'd love to share some more really amazing ninja strategies when people come and see me speak at the event. I can't wait, because to me, this is the most exciting development, not even on the internet, but just in my entire life, this whole online video thing.
And there's no doubt that there's – people can now create their own content, get their own traffic, have whatever brand or passion or money-making thing they want to do. It can be done with video, with podcasts. It's just such an exciting time to be alive. Awesome. So I'm looking forward to that presentation.
Me too, James. I can't wait.
Well, thanks for all your tips and sharing information. We welcome comments underneath this podcast, and Gideon will come and check it out. So thank you very much, and I'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, James.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.